On air.
It's time for the reading for today is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1 to 6. That's Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1 to 6. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that you, where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. This is the word of God.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the reading, Brother Anthony. It's good to be here Sunday morning. Best day of the week. I'd like to welcome Tierra back. It's good to have you back from Bermuda with us, so welcome to you. And I'd also like to extend a very warm welcome to Femi and Jennifer, who are here for the first time, and from Nigeria, but living in Leicester. So what we always do, and I hope you're okay with that, we like to give our visitors a Bible, a gift from this congregation with all our love. So let me do that now. And as well, and that's the love of the congregation. So
thank you.
Amen. So over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some topics. For example, what can I give God? God owns everything. And then we looked at how one of the things that God gave us was the freedom of choice. He gave us that amazing gift. So we have a gift of freedom of choice. We can choose. Now, in this room, there's people from all over the world. So I bring a globe in. I bring this globe in and I put it here in front of me, and people can spin the globe around and say, there's Nigeria, there's Ghana, there's Ireland, Florida. Wherever we are around the globe, people from all walks of life, Bermuda. And the globe, what it does is it gives you, it won't take you to the street or it won't take you to the exact location, but it will just give you an idea of whereabouts in the world these places are. Now, if I want to go to someone's location and they give me a postcode, in this modern day, of course, we use the sat navs, don't we, or phones now. You can even use them on the street. It's great. The other day I was in Leicester and I was looking for somewhere and I put it in and I was walking down the street like this. You know, that's the way that things are. A satellite navigation helps to direct you to a specific place or a street or a location, and it will allow that. Allow you to find where you need to be. I want to tell you about something that I think is very important to understand, and it's this. That God's word will tell you where you are right now. It will also give some ideas to where you've been and our history, but also we all know where we've been. It can also tell us where we can go and how to get to our future. So the Bible tells us where we've come from. It tells us our background, where we are at the moment, and it can tell us how to get to our future. You should know where you have been yesterday. I'm pretty certain if I went round the room and said, where were you yesterday? You could say, I know exactly where I was yesterday. Hopefully you were somewhere good. And you also know where you are right now because you're all in this room, we're physically in this room. But I want us to look at our spiritual situation. This is a question that I want to put to every person in this room. Everybody knows your status, your situation. Do you know where you are? Do you know where you are? And I'm talking about spiritually. Where am I spiritually? What is my future? What's my status between myself and God? Do I believe in God? I am at a stage, maybe I'm at a stage of looking for God. Maybe I'm uncertain. We've been looking over the last few weeks at how, you know, we have to seek God. Do you remember we was talking about seeking God and the importance of being able to seek Him? And to be able to find Him. The only way that we can find God is by looking for Him. Now, God wants you to grope for Him. Do you remember we talked about that last week? But where are you right now? Are you searching for God? Or are you kind of just, I'm in this situation, I'm just letting things be. I'm just going to let things be. John 14 that we just had read by Brother Anthony. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, to the Lord, this is Thomas, he said, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And I define from that that Thomas doesn't even know where he is himself to ask a question like that. And how can we know the way? So Thomas doesn't even know where he's going to or how to get to where he needs to be. You see, that is the question. Where are you now? Do you know where the Lord has gone? Do you know that He wants you to go there? And do you know how you're going to get there? How will you make it? Jesus said to Thomas, He said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Isn't this life that we get confused? What about me? What is my life about? You know, what am I doing with my life? Where am I? I'm lost. I don't know where I am. I don't know where I should be. Is God real? Isn't He real? Should I give my life to Christ? Should I not give my life to Christ? How do I get there? How do I get to my eternal place? In the passage that we read this morning, at the start of it, He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, He said. You believe in God. He said, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or rooms, you may have in your translation. If it were not so, this is Jesus saying, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, He says, you know. And the way, you know. And of course, following that statement, He said, we don't know. We don't know where we are. Them not knowing where they were meant that their lives were troubled. They were living troubled lives. And the world in most cases, do you know what He said to them? He says, you believe in God. Does this world not use God so much in their lives when it suits them? I mean, they get married and have a God mentioned at their wedding. Most funerals, you'll go to a funeral and God is mentioned at their funeral and they'll make some statements about a loving God. So they're using God. You may talk to people and say, do you believe there's a God? Well, I believe there's something. What do you believe there's a God? If you believe in something, because a God is something, it may be the wrong God that you believe in Him, but you believe in something. You believe in God. The problem is, He says, you don't believe in me. He said, you don't believe in the Saviour. And when we look at our life and look at where we're at today, it may be that you believe in God. But the question is, do you believe in Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Jesus says, believe in me also. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can be with me. What What is he saying? Where are you right now? There's the Savior standing in his presence. I'm going somewhere to do something for you. And then I'll come back to where you are. The problem is, he didn't even know where he was. You see, the world fails to see and believe in Jesus Christ. God becomes convenient to the world, that they can use him when they need him. You know, when there's a tragedy, people will pray to God and not give him another second's thought for the rest of their lives. They believe in God. They fail to see and believe in Jesus, the Savior, who goes to prepare a place for you. Now, here is the problem. Verse 7. It says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? The Saviour, who they never got to know, because there was a failing in understanding who he was, they never even got to know the Father, because they didn't recognise the connection. And so you have people in this world who just believe in something, but they don't truly get to know the true living God. I'm going to suggest something. If we don't know where we are, it will be because we don't know Christ. Because once you get to know Christ, Christ helps us to understand where we are. It helps to establish it. Because people go through life aimlessly, not knowing about life. Creation and scripture reveals our God. And it's time to exercise that freedom of choice given. That's what we talked about last week. I want to encourage you to exercise your freedom of choice. To seek God and ask yourself, am I going to give my life to him? Where am I? Where am I in this question? You know, the world leads us to believe that this world is billions of years old. Dinosaurs roamed the earth 500 million years ago. We study the word of God and we realize that the earth is a few thousand years old. The word of God gives all the answers. We are told that the first day when God created the earth, but mankind is looking for deeper solutions, deeper answers, seeking out things that shouldn't be there. And they fail to see that the Bible is the only complete history of the world and of the human race. You know, from Genesis to Revelation, we see the journey of man. And from creation to eternity, we see all of these amazing things. And God reveals through his holy word the message. So, you know, you go to the Bible tells you things that man finds out later. It's a great study. You want to look at it sometime. The Bible says, you know, there are springs of water in the depths of the sea. Man gets a submarine and goes down. What does he find? Springs of water in the depths of the sea. You see? The Bible talks about the world being round. What does a man do? He gets on a boat and sails to what he thought would be the edge of the earth to see if he was going to drop off it, to discover that what the Bible says. The Bible talks about planets in our solar system that you can only just about see with a telescope. Man builds a telescope, there they are. You see, God's word reveals to his people the Bible is the only complete history of the world and of the human race. And God says, open your eyes, look at my creation, read my words, and you will see where you are. You'll see where you are, and you'll get an understanding. The Bible is credible. You know that. The Bible is credible. Flaws, all of man's views and opinions and deception and lies I found out through the Word of God. And no matter how hard people have tried to disprove the Word of God, they cannot do it. The guy who wrote the book, Who Moved, Frank Morrison, wrote a book, Who Moved the Stone. Frank Morrison was determined to prove that God was not real. And he was determined to prove that Christianity was fake. And so he decided, this guy was he was a guy who could go through courts of law, an investigator, really clever man. And so what he did was he looked into the history of Jesus' death. And he went to the laws of the land of that time, and he looked at all the possibilities and scenarios of how Jesus' body could not have risen from that tomb. And at the end of it, he said, I cannot prove it wrong. And he became a follower, became a Christian, because he could not prove it wrong. You see, the flaws of man, the flaws of man's opinions of deception, when they come arm in arm with the Word of God, there's no comparison. This Word is reliable. It's reliable. And so, by looking at this scripture, it tells us where we are. You see, when the Bible tells me how to become a Christian, when I read the scriptures and see things in there that I haven't done, then I assume to myself, well, I'm not a Christian yet. I've not given my life to Christ according to the scriptures because the Bible's telling me my position. So it enables me then to find where I go next. The Bible delivers facts long before man discovers them. And we see God's desire in the holy Word of God to have a relationship with mankind. We've looked at that over the last few weeks. You see, what God wants is his desire is to have his people whom he created to choose him. It's amazing. God wants you to choose him. And so his Word tells from Genesis of how God would come down in the evening and walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. He would walk with them. And because of the sin that came into the world, that drew man away from that relationship. Now, God brings in a plan. We call it the scheme of redemption. You go through the scriptures, and the scripture shows you the plan of God, all the way through to his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. The start of the church and then how to live as a Christian, it's all in there. And we see these things of God's desire. Romans 5 says, therefore, in verse 12, just as though through one man, sin entered, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. That's you and me as well. And so that was the redemption that God put in place that we can exercise our freedom of choice. In the Bible, we see the history of mankind. So I can look at our past. We can look at our past and see where we have come from. And we can see the journey that we have been on to where we are today. In the Old Testament, we see God's plan in action to redeem mankind. You know, one of the things we've talked about before, you look in the Old Testament, every blessing is physical. Physical. So when somebody does something for God, God blesses them with physical things. It may be children. It may be a land. It may be a position. Or it may be a multitude of things. We talked about when the Ark of God, this is the Ark that was inside the Holy of Holies, and when it was being moved to be taken back, and of course they did the whole process was done incorrectly, and consequently because of that, Uzzah was struck down there. And so what did they do? They left the Ark of God, they were so mad, and went away, leaving the Ark of God at Obed-Edom's house. There's this man Obed-Edom. The Ark of God has been dumped on his doorstep. They've gone home, they're angry with God because Uzzah was struck down dead for being irreverent to God. And in fact, everything that they did to collect the Ark of God wasn't in accordance with Scripture. What you read, as you read in the account about Obed-Edom's household, was blessed. Because they were taking care of the Ark of God. The Ark of God was on their land. They didn't want it, but there it was. And God blesses their crops, and he blesses their flocks of animals, and everything is going so well. And that was the indication that it was time to go back to collect the Ark of God, but this time to do it right. Well, the point is this. The history of the Bible shows us God and how he is. Now, in the New Testament, we have a different kind of blessing. You see, the Israelites received this, but when they rejected God, they got into trouble. You look at the examples in the Bible of people rejecting God. There were wars lost, battles lost, lands lost. Sodom and Gomorrah was totally destroyed. All of these things. Now, we as Christians, when we listen to God's word and we obey the teachings of God's word, we will find blessings such as peace that surpasses all understanding. We will live a meaningful life. If you want to know where you are, ask yourself this question. Do I live in peace? Do I lie in my bed at night peacefully? Sleeping, knowing I'm in a relationship with God? Do I have comfort in knowing that if somebody comes and takes things from me, or damages something of mine, or steals from me, or underdoes something in my life, that I can find comfort in my God? That maybe I go through a trauma or a struggle or something difficult in my life, I'm in a relationship with God, so I have comfort in that. Do you have that comfort? Do you feel secure? Do you feel secure? Something happened to you today, you're going to heaven. I'm going to die today, I'll be in heaven. That's how we should feel. That is the confidence that we should have. Now, these are indications to help you to clarify your current location. I'm not judging people here. This is not what I'm doing. What I'm asking you to do is just address that yourself. Ask yourself. I have to ask myself, am I at peace with God? Am I at peace with life? You know, are there some discomforts in my life that create problems for me? These are the things that help me to see where I am. I may need to make some changes in my life. I might need to change my attitude. I might need to change my temperament. God's word tells us where we are. You must know where you are, and to know where you are going. Your satellite navigation system, when I get in my car, I'm heading off to London with Brother Gary this time, or with a proper guide this time. And what I do is I put in the location of where I'm going. Do you know what the sat-nav does? The first thing it does is assesses where I am. It cannot give me directions to where I'm going until the satellite navigation system knows where I am. And so it connects to the satellites in the sky, and they say, there he is, he's just there. And then it will say, right, this is your journey. This is where you go. This is the place that you are going. Well, you see, in order for us to move forward in our lives, we need to ask ourselves, where am I? You must know where you are in order for you to move on. Now, I'm talking to Christians as well. People who have observed and obeyed the scriptures and become Christians through baptism, there are times when we're going to lose our location. I've been there. We lose our location and we're going to say, oh, where am I? Hang on a minute. Oh, I've got to sort things out here. Hey, there's problems here. I've got to sort things out. And so what you do is you examine yourself, and then I might have to make some changes to get myself back into the location I need to be, because I want to get to heaven. And so it's important that when you enter, do you know when you go in the shopping centre and you've seen the big signs that tell you where all the shops are? You go in there, there's a big sign, it's got a list of all the shops, and then there's an arrow, a big red arrow, and it says, you are here. That is what we need to do. We need to understand where we are. Knowing where you are is essential to getting to where you need to be. And so this is the question, am I right with God today? Am I right with God today? The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Look at it like this. You've got two wires and a light at the end. And once those wires touch together, the light comes on. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's this far away or this far away. It's still the same. It's not connected. It doesn't matter the distance. You know, some people think I'm too far away. It doesn't matter whether you're that far away or that far away. It's irrelevant. The point is this. Until there's a connection, you're short of the glory of God. So Jesus comes to bridge that little gap with that cross, doesn't he? And he links that gap together. And so we have to know where we are. And we have to understand that we fall short of the glory of God. That is your location. What is my position? Well, I fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells me that. And so what do I need to do? I need to find out how I can allow myself to be connected. What is going to be the process of that? Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 says, for there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. This, brethren, is a starting point. We have to understand that every single one of us are going to have to ask ourselves this question. Every one of us. We are going to have to ask this question. We can ignore it. We talked about that, our freedom of choice. That's our freedom of choice. God does not want people to be forced to love him. He wants people to seek him and reach out to him. You remember we talked about the father, the parent standing at the side of the road, and you reach down and you grab the hand of your child and you hold that hand. And we were saying how incredible it is if it's reversed, that the father is standing there and the child reaches up and grabs the father's hand. You see, what happens is it shows its dependence upon God. It shows its requirement of God. There is not a just man on earth. All have fallen short of the glory of God. In other words, every single one of us starts at that location of being short to the glory of God. And so therefore we need to understand, you know, that the starting point is there. You know, we read the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son takes his inheritance and off he goes on his journey. Spends all his money. Because where he thought he was, he thought that's where all the joy will be. All my joy will be in pleasure. All my joy will be in money and spending and having a good time. Eventually, everything's gone. Because one of the things I'll tell you about the things of this world is that it doesn't matter what you put your faith and trust in, it will only last for a short time. It will stop. It will stop. You'll think you'll find happiness in these things. It will stop. It will end. Even your friends and relationships will disappear. They will disappear. So there is this young boy going out, this young man spends all his inheritance. Eventually he ends up in a pig pen. A pig pen. And it was then that he stopped and realised where he was. Where am I? I'm in a pig pen. I thought I'd made mistakes. I thought I knew what I was doing. I ended up in a pig pen. Eating, working with pigs, living with them and eating the food with them. And it was then that he realised, and what did he do? I can see where I am. It was almost like the satellite navigation system had triggered in. He taps in the word home. From the location he was, he was able to get himself home. And when he got home, who was waiting for him? His father, his loving father, was waiting for him to embrace him, to kill the fatted calf, and to serve a meal, a banquet for his son who returned to home to be with him. But you see, you are going to find yourselves in this life in places that you're going to question, why am I here? Why is my life a mess? Why are these relationships falling apart? Why are my friends deserting me? Why am I awake at night and I can't sleep? Why am I'm struggling to even eat because I'm so churned up inside. I've got no peace, I've got no comfort. And I go to my bank and I take out my money and think, I'll just go and spend some money and make myself feel better. I try and think of ways to try and relieve this situation that I'm in. Let me tell you something, you're in the pig pen. That's where you are. You don't realise it, but eventually you're going to have to stop and assess and see, what do I need to do? Our God says, when are you coming home? He's waiting for you to come to Him, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Unless you have realised this, unless you stop to see where you are, you'll never be able to move on. Now, I was talking to somebody probably a month ago, and they said, my life is just standing still. I'm going nowhere. I've got nobody. I said, well, where are you? Well, I don't know where I am. There's your problem. Do you not see that God offers something completely different? A few times I've spoken about the example of four lepers in 2 Kings 7. A city besieged. The people inside the city could not leave the city to get the food because it was besieged by the enemy. And so the food was running out. And inside the city were four men with leprosy. Now let me tell you, if we was in this room and this room was besieged, and four people in this room had leprosy and we were running out of food, who wouldn't get the food? Those four lepers. In fact, they got a leprosy, they got a disease. In fact, we pushed them well out of the way. You stay away from this crowd here, and we're not giving you food, you die. And so these four men with leprosy, insignificant men with this dreadful disease, in the middle of a city with an enemy outside, a rejection inside, stand at a gate. They stand at a gate. And do you know what they did? They examined where they were. And if you read the passage, go home and read it today, 2 Kings 7. It says that they stood and looked and assessed their situation and said, what shall we do? You see, that's the question you've got to ask yourself, isn't it? What shall I do? And so they assess things. If we go into the city, they say, we will die because there's a famine in the city and we're not welcome. And so they assess that. We can't go into the city. So then they say, well, okay, we're here. If we stay at this city gate, we will die because we've got no food. And we can't go into the city to get the food. We can't go out the city to get the food. So they stand at a city gate. And so they assess again and say, well, there is one option. We could leave the gate and go to the enemy and plead for our lives. And if the enemy show mercy on us, at least we're free. And so what do? They examine their lives and they make a decision. And they open the gate and they walk to the enemy. Unknown to them that in the night, God made the sound of an army of the Hittites. Scary army. And it made the enemy run away. And no one in the city knew, not even these four lepers. And as these four lepers arrived at the city, at the camp, the enemy had gone. And they looked around and there was food in the... Listen, the fires were still burning. The soup was hot. Yeah, the animals, the treasures, the plunder, the gold, everything was there. It says that they even still had their animals tethered. This enemy ran. And so these four lepers who assessed their lives found themselves saved. And so what they do, it says that they kept it to themselves and they buried the treasures and they were eating the food till one day. And suddenly they said, listen, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news.
And so what did they do? They went back to the city to tell the king, open your gates, let the people out. The enemy have gone. God has freed you. And you know, that's what they did. You will never find another account of those four lepers in the Bible. They had served their purpose. And today, all those years later, we can stand here on a Sunday morning and sit here on a Sunday morning and talk about four men with leprosy who made a difference, because what did they do? They established their position and did something about it. I want to encourage you today. In Acts 2:36, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. In other words, the good news. When the people heard this, it says they were cut to the heart. Why were they cut to the heart? They crucified the Saviour. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent. There's your freedom of choice today. You have the freedom of choice to do this. Turn your life around. Repent. The men of the city gate, they have a choice. Go to the enemy, open the gate and go. Today we're told, repent and let every one of you be baptized. That's immersed in water. For the remission of sins. And it says, note this, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you know which bit I like? This bit. For the promises to you, that's who we were speaking to, and to your children, and to all who are afar off. That's us. That's us. Today, we stand at the gate. Question is, are we going to stop and ask ourselves, where am I? Where am I? What do I need to do to realise that God wants me to use my freedom of choice that He has given me as a gift to turn to Him and give my life to Him? I pray that God's word, not me, I'm the voice. This is God's message that I'm talking about here. And I pray that it touches your heart today. I'm talking to everyone in this room. I plead with you to look at your life, examine it, ask yourself where you are. And if you see the need, let me encourage you to give your life to Him today. Let's rise and sing.